As these data became available and we started talking to local elected officials and people in law enforcement, they were just as surprised as everyone else that Indiana has this ranking of second in the nation of kids who have or have had a parent who's been incarcerated. Folks can only speculate, and the largest speculation is drug crimes, that a lot of these adults in their mid-30s to mid-40s in age, their parents. The national surveys indicate that more than half of them are parents and that they're being incarcerated for drug crimes at higher numbers than before, leaving more kids with a parent currently behind bars or one who's previously been incarcerated.
Is that because of drug use, drug crimes, or the... or drug laws?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there have been changes in sentencing over the last 10 to 20 years that have led to greater incarceration. Indiana just revisited those laws just in the last couple of years to allow for either less incarceration or alternatives to incarceration. There's even a bill moving through the General Assembly right now to give more local communities more money to provide mental health and substance abuse counseling to low-level offenders to try to either reduce incarceration altogether or at least reduce the time of incarceration. So it's something that the law enforcement folks and public policy folks have noticed. In the meantime, we have the second highest percentage in the country of kids who are going to live with this fact for the rest of their lives.
Does this data find its way into the public debate over, for example, what a state should do about drug sentencing?
Yeah, I think it does. We reached out to the Chief Justice of the Indiana Supreme Court, the Honorable Loretta Rush, and she noted that, you know, the biggest victims in all of this are the children whose parents are incarcerated. And, she recommended that people keep an eye on that legislation that's moving through the State House right now that would either, you know, reduce time served and or just alternatives to incarceration with funding for mental health and substance abuse counseling. You know, she backed it up in her years as a juvenile court judge in Tippecanoe County, where she established a drug court, an alternative court for drug offenders, as well as a couple dozen other programs for youth in the criminal justice system. So, you know, we know Indiana has a high percentage. The effects are very negative. The research shows that. And both on the public policy side and on the program side, folks are trying to take steps to meet the needs of these kids.
What are some of the steps that are proving to be successful?
Well, first of all, is to, again, look at the research summarized well by the University of Minnesota that says these children are much more likely to live in poverty, much more likely to be homeless, much more likely to have physical and mental health problems, to have trouble in school and be delinquent themselves. Michelle, there's also this intangible that, as the researchers say, the kids have this feeling of powerlessness, that it really drops how they view themselves and their own life potential, and it makes them much more challenged in becoming a well-adjusted adult who can adapt to the challenges of life. So we have both the tangible and intangible aspects happening. We hope that teachers and youth workers and community members are aware of these kids. In a subtle way, we can't put the bright spotlight on these kids and say, oh, look at her, her dad's in jail, but to do it in a subtle way to get these kids the help and the attention that they need. Then there are some direct programs. A federal task force pointed out that the best programs, when appropriate, involve the incarcerated parent. Can't be true for all the incarcerated if their crimes are, especially severe. But for many of the parents, it can happen. And you look at programs like Volunteers of America and even the Indiana Department of Corrections with their Family Education Department are reaching out, providing parenting skills to these incarcerated adults, helping them connect to their kids, in some cases providing them resources to transition back into society and get the counseling that they need to help the parents themselves and to help the kids not, follow the same footsteps.
Bill Stanjakiewicz, thank you so much. Bill Stanjakiewicz is CEO of the Indiana Youth Institute.